Thank you for joining us, saints, for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God bless you and keep you. And Father, thank you for blessing us with wisdom today. We all want to be prepared for the coming of the Lord, and we thank you for what you're doing to get us there, Lord. Give us wisdom today, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are going to continue with Tests Prove Who is the Bride, number 9. And this first revelation we're going to call The Bride Needs to Plug into the Power of Sanctification. Yes, this is the foundation for everything. Thank you, Father, for doing that for us in Jesus' name. And this was given to Vanessa Weeks on 4/4/22. And it was about Eve, so Eve put some notes in it before I got it. And Vanessa said, in my dream, some of us in the fellowship were in a room, and there was a white stepladder, which I believe was probably Jesus, on the right side of the room next to the white wall. Well, we know Jesus is the only way to heaven, and the white wall represents sanctification or holiness. And Hebrews 12:14 tells us, follow after peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. Sanctification just means separated from sin unto God, right? Okay, Eve was standing on the top of this stepladder and wearing a head covering. Well, I believe Eve represents the bride here, who is walking the highway of holiness submitted to Jesus in her heavenly husband, right? So, wearing the head covering. I knew Eve needed to plug a thick white cord into the wall outlet. This cord had a round plug like you would use for a 240-volt outlet. Well, the bride needs to plug into the power source, which is the Holy Spirit of God, right? So many haven't received the Holy Spirit yet, with the evidences as in the book of Acts. I'm not sure if the cord was in her hand or on the floor, but she had to stay on top of the ladder. Obviously, you have to stay in heavenly places to be able to do the work of God, right? She had to stay on top of the ladder while plugging it in. And the outlet was about 10 feet away from where she was on the top of the stepladder, so you were not able to reach it. Well, she was not able to reach it, right? And kind of points to grace, doesn't it? Well, but 10, as in 10 feet, is the number of the law. And if we are under the law, or legalism rather than grace, then we're unable to plug into the power of the Holy Spirit. And the grace of God is out of our reach, basically. So, I saw a man standing by the outlet near the wall. And after I woke up, I thought maybe he could plug it in, or one of us could. And Eve said, I believe this man represents the David man-child reformers who will teach the bride in the wilderness how to tap into the power of God. Amen. Just as Jesus did. As we will see, I had a dream below of climbing Mount Zion in order to stand next to David, who was standing up against a white brick wall, just like in this dream. Yes, quite often we get these little confirmations that connect dream to dream. Then Vanessa said, I heard a man's voice say, pray. And then I woke up. I told Barry this, and we prayed. At the time, I thought the Lord may also be saying to pray for the bride to have more power. But it was amazing to me when Eve talked about needing to plug something into a 240-volt plug in our meeting. Confirmation. As I meditated on this dream, the Lord reminded me of 2 Corinthians 12:9, which says, and he has said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Yes, as long as we are strong, God is weak. And when we are weak, and we proclaim it, that it's not us, it's the Lord, then He is powerful. Okay, so Eve had this on 6:3:22, rejecting the idolatrous world to climb Mount Zion. Mm-hmm. She said, I dreamed that I was in a movie theater with my son, Josiah. The movie theater represents the apostate church system. Movies are generally fake, like the apostates are. They're playing religion, but it's not the real thing. So Eve's son, Josiah, represents the man-child reformers who help God's people turn from idolatry. See, that's part of sanctification too, right? So Eve went on to say, the movie theater was located at the base of a steep mountain. Well, the base of Mount Zion is where many start out in apostasy. You know, if they're seeking to go any higher and into the bride, which is Mount Zion, and some don't even know that this is a possibility, or else they believe they're already there. We were there to watch a movie that we knew was family-friendly. But the rest of the audience thought it was going to be an evil movie, full of foul language, sex, violence, so on and so forth. Well, we know that the elect of God desire holiness and righteousness represented by the family-friendly movie. But the false Christian actors of apostasy want to entertain the flesh. And boy, it was just amazing how what depths they can plunge to when they want to do this. And Eve went on to say, once the movie started and these apostates realized it was a cartoon kids movie, they became disgusted and angry and began to file out of the theater. They don't really think they have to start out as a child, right? But Jesus said we must become as a child to enter the kingdom. They all think they're very grown up. Their religion teaches them they're the top of the heap, right? When a child accepts what their father tells them, and that's who we should be accepting, not men, right, but what our father tells us. Jesus said, he that is of God hears the words of God. That's how we know who is of God. They will listen to God's word. And Josiah and I got up to follow them out to see where they were going. When we got out into the lighted theater lobby, we realized that they were all actors and news reporters. So they're just reporting about themselves, putting on a show. They were like mind-controlled zombies with microphones and camera crews following them everywhere. Well, Christians are trained by apostate leaders into believing in a false reality that doesn't permit them to tolerate the truth. They just emulate their leaders, and all the Christian actors are repulsed by sanctification and the crucified life. Many times they call it works, although Jesus spoke it very plainly. They want as little responsibility as possible. Basically, they like to step over the line type thing. I'm there. I've had it. That's it. All I got to do is sit down on a pew and wait for Jesus, right? But they won't be prepared for Jesus, no more than the Pharisees were prepared for Jesus, right? So as Josiah and I followed them out the front doors, they all went over to the left at the base of the mountain and were doing their individual performances in front of their different camera crews. Well, these are the goats whom Jesus put on the left, and they worship another Jesus that allows them to play church. And they think the big time is when they can produce a false persona about themselves, because they have departed so far from the examples that were given to us. Okay, there was a chain link fence with barbed wiring along the top of it, surrounding the mountain with only one gateway and the path leading to the steep climb to the top. Well, this is true. There is only one way to the top of Mount Zion, and that is Jesus. And we have to go through Jesus, the door, right? He is our example and the door to the sheepfold. So these zombie actors and reporters were content to stay at the bottom of the mountain, separated in their own little universe, play-acting and pretending with their lives. And the Lord told Dimitri Dudeman, "Get on top of the mountain, Dimitri, or you will burn." In other words, judgment is coming to those who are content to stay in apostasy with a false Christianity and a false Jesus. I decided to walk straight ahead through the gateway and up the steep path to try to make it to the top of the mountain with Josiah. Well, we must choose the door, Jesus. He's our example. Religion, modern religion, is not. And his nature and character will help us reject the idolatry with the world and climb Mount Zion to attain unto righteousness. And his presence is there, right? I thought it would be more difficult than it actually turned out to be. Well, the Lord takes our burden, does he not? Mm-hmm. I was able to climb it without getting out of breath or any sort of muscle fatigue. Well, we know 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 says, "And he has said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." We brag about the Lord and not ourselves, because it's all grace. And it's not following the rules of any religion, it's following grace, right? And once we made it to the top, I saw a small, white-walled-in area that consisted of stepped plateaus in the side of the mountain. This area belonged to David and UBM. Oh, praise the Lord. And, well, just as King David ruled from Jerusalem atop Mount Zion, so the man-child David reformers will rule over the bride, which is in the New Jerusalem, and is the New Jerusalem, that is coming down out of heaven. And as John was told, this is the bride, okay? There was, because we're born from above. This is not physical. We are born from above. We are born out of heaven, right? So there was a brick building belonging to UBM that had a wooden prayer request box and a stack of white prayer request cards next to it. We walked inside and saw an older woman filling out one of the cards and putting it into the slot on the top of the box. Well, UBM does pray with many people around the world, and we provide many materials that provide the answers to their prayers or tell them the way to get the answers, right? And we have to know what to believe for, and then we have to believe in faith. And when we came back out of the building, we walked up the slope a little further, and there was another plateau with two rows of picnic tables where many UBM brethren were sitting. Well, UBM provides the spiritual food and the steps to take for those who consume our materials, right? And UBM is, of course, just a type for any other unleavened bread people out there that believe you should not add to or take from the word, right? Well, David was standing next to the white wall near the picnic tables. There it is, the white wall again. So this is just like Vanessa's dream, representing standing on top of Mount Zion in sanctification. That's what the wall means. It's separation, which means sanctification. The ground was very steep where he was standing, and I had to be careful with my footing to get up where he was standing against the white brick wall. Habakkuk 3 and 19 tells us, The Lord is my strength, and he maketh my feet like hind's feet, and will make me to walk upon my high places. It's all by grace, but you have to desire truth and love truth, right? I was finally able to get up there and stand next to him against the white brick wall, and then I woke up. Well, the bride will reign on Mount Zion with the David man-child reformers, and that was just like it was with Esther, right? Everything is a repeat of history. Okay, here's Isaac Payne's revelation from 5:5:22, and we called it Final Exam of Faith for the Bride. Final Exam. In this dream, I was in a history class. We're spelling that H-I-S-S-T-O-R-Y. Because it's a repeat of what has already happened. It's his story, amen, being fulfilled. I was in a history class with many other students. And as you know, Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 says, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. So the teacher was a lady with shoulder-length, straight brown hair, and she was giving everyone a verbal review of the upcoming end-term final exam. Well, let me say, wisdom is feminine in the Bible because those who have her are able to receive the seed or word of God. We have to first receive the seed before we could give the seed. There are many people out there giving the seed, and they only have one thing that they should be doing, and that is receiving the seed. Proverbs 8:1, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? So you see, it's feminine here. Verse 6, hear, for I will speak excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Amen. So he said this final exam was a major portion of the overall grade for the class. We are currently in the final testings, I believe, and the trials of our faith to decide who is chosen as the bride. Some will pass the test, but many will fail, as in the parable of the sower and as in the book of Esther. You know, they were all tested, and Esther was chosen, and the rest were not. I felt that I was not prepared at all for this test. And I looked at my desk and realized I had no supplies. Well, we know that the Lord will supply all that we need to pass the test in the kingdom. It's faith in him that counts. It's grace from him that works. And Esther 2 and 13 says, then in this wise came the maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. House of the women, of course, is the place of the denominations and the people who have come to know God in a measure, right? I also don't remember turning in any homework or doing any of the previous assignments that were ever issued earlier in the semester for this class. Matter of fact, I felt that I was just translated into this class because I had no recollection of ever participating in this history class. Well, we are to repeat his story by walking in his steps. 1 John 2 and 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. We can't copy men or religions. All of the religions in Jesus' day failed in that regard. And history repeats. When we are born, we become part of God's history class, and the trials and testings begin. We will only pass by the grace of God given to us through faith in Jesus. Amen. During the review process, I felt overwhelmed and felt as if I was going to fail the class. Some people feel that way now, right? I didn't see the point of participating in the end term final because I didn't see how it was possible for me to pass the class. And I walked up to the history teacher, representing the Holy Spirit of wisdom, right, to have a word with her. I told her, there isn't any point for me to take the final, and it would just be wasting my time because I couldn't pass the test anyway, even if I made 100% on the final. She just listened to me without saying much. At this point, I figured I would just retake the class the next year. Despite my hopelessness, I asked, what is my current grade and what would I need to make on the final to pass the class? Well, we shouldn't get discouraged because Christ in us has done all the homework, and when he died on the cross for us. So we just need to accept this free gift by faith. And when we see him in the mirror, we know that we don't live anymore. He lives in us. And therefore, we know that we have his ability and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? You see him in the mirror, that means you have what he is and he lives in you, right? She then looked at all my previous grades and averaged them out and she said, you presently have a 60%. And you can pass the class with flying colors if you make a good grade on the final. I was totally shocked that I had this good of a grade, and especially since I had not done any of the work to get this grade. Well, the work's all done from the Lord, from the foundation of the world, remember? So I knew in this school that a 60% was a passing grade. Matthew 13 and 8. He gives, and others fell upon the good ground and yielded fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. There's the 60 right there. Matthew 13 and 33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened, which means 100%, right? I believe, he said, the 3 measures represent the 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold of Christ in us. Yes, amen. The fruit of Christ in us is what allows us to pass the test, right? And we have this gift from God. We have the mind of Christ, the scripture says. I sat down again at my desk surrounded by the other students, and I had a surge of confidence. So he finally believed the gospel, right? The good news. That it was all finished. I knew at this point I had to put all my effort into studying because the final was due 3 days from now. Well, 2 Timothy 2 and 15 in the KJV uses the word study here. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yep. Hosea 6, 2 through 3, he said, after 2 days will he revive us, and on the 3rd day he will raise us up. And we shall live before him. And let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning, and he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. Well, we know the latter rain of the Holy Spirit is how the Lord is coming to be manifested in his people. And although the final review was verbal, he said, I had the book of the history class, and I felt empowered and supernaturally knew I could study and retain the history book to pass the final with 100%. And then I woke up. So he said, I believe this history book is the Bible, and when we get it in our hearts, we can retain more of Jesus. It's no coincidence that in this dream, it was a history class that I was partaking of. And we are justified by faith. We are accounted righteous. He didn't say we were righteous. He said we are accounted righteous. That is what the word justified means. By our faith that Jesus gave us his life. And he nailed ours on the cross. And we're accounted as righteous. And hearing the good news, Isaac was very confident. Amen. My oldest son, Israel, has a gift of interpreting dreams. When I told him the dream, he said that the history class is about the history of Jesus, who has always been. Well, Colossians 1, 15 through 18, Isaac gives us here, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him were all things created, and in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities and powers, all things have been created through him and unto him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in him all things he might have preeminence. Okay. And John 5 and 46 says, for if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? It's true. It's a big problem with religion today. Okay. He went on to say, the Old Testament and the New Testament speak of Jesus, and we need to partake of the whole lamb, as the Israelites did during the Passover. John 1 and 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And also, the night after I had this dream, I was attending the UBM Zoom meeting, and a gentleman was doing a very detailed teaching on righteousness apart from works. It dawned on me then that I didn't do the homework. Hence the word work, or any assignments to obtain the 60%. Well, it's all by faith. However, I'm believing for 100-fold fruit. Well, amen. Thank you, Jesus. We do too. Okay, this is Garrett Crawford's Revelation 6:9-22. The bride takes her test early. Garrett said, the Lord gave me a dream last night that there is a test coming, and many of us are playing around and have not studied. True. Well, the Lord is using trials to prove his elect, and we must study the word and put it down into our hearts in order to overcome the trials and the testings that are coming. So, in the dream, I watched many who were given the test early, and they were ready and passed the test. Or at least they were confident they did well. Well, the first fruits passed the test through faith, right? Their faith is in the power and the wisdom of God and not in themselves. Amen. And others played around in the classroom watching the other students take the test, thinking within themselves that they too would be ready when it was their turn. But they had a false assurance of self-confidence and decided not to study for the test even while there was still time. And after the first group had been tested, the ones that failed to prepare were finally given the test. They thought they would easily pass the test, like all the other students, but without studying. But once the test questions were placed before them, they realized the questions were far more complex than they had prepared for. Well, it's kind of like the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil with them." That's that anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the anointing, by the way, is on the Word, too. It's not on religion, but it's on the Word of God. "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there is a cry, 'Behold the bridegroom, come ye forth to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Peradventure there will not be enough for us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.'" Well, buy the truth and sell it not, right? So those people aren't got any business. We buy it with our lives, by the way. We buy the truth with our lives. We have to give up our lives to know the truth, right? "And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open unto us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven.'" You understand, the Word is the manna that came out of heaven, and we have to become the Word made flesh to be recognized by the Lord. We can't come into the image of a worldly Jesus and expect that we will be accepted that way. So the questions were not simply question and answer. They were three-dimensional holographic questions, and each question was a series of three questions, but all had to have the same answer. It was unlike any test they had taken before. They quickly realized it was only by the grace of God that they would pass. Since in reality no normal way of study could have prepared them for this test. "And then I woke up." Well, the Word of God is the only way to study for the tests of life. It is a three-dimensional text. And each time you read it, the Holy Spirit reveals more and more revelations of truth to you. And putting the Word of God, who is Jesus the Word made flesh, is the way to bear fruit in our lives and pass the test. All right. Our enemies are conquered. And this is my writing here. We must take care to fight with the demonic enemies. The spiritual enemies that are human enemies have given their life over to serve. Mark 16 and 17 says, "And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons." And Ephesians 6:10 through 18 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." There we go. Why? How can he command us something that we can't attain to? He's telling us and giving us this gift. In other words, let the weak say, "I am strong." Right? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yes, he is a sneaky devil. And he wants to draw us away from justification by faith. He wants to draw us away from faith. He wants to fill us with condemnation because we've believed what he said. But our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So, if you will not stand now, what about the evil day? Okay, so we're in training now for the things that are coming. Amen. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, withal taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. So, the evil one sends many thoughts into our minds to conquer us. Do we have faith in the truth to defend ourselves? That's what the Holy Spirit brings up. He reminds us of those things that were said by the Lord to defend ourselves. Will we get double-minded when he fires his thoughts into our mind and accept them as our own thoughts? That's what happens a lot of times. Will he then be able to condemn us for his thoughts? That's what he does a lot of times. You know, you don't have to accept who you are not. Remember, you look in the mirror and you see Jesus, and you don't live anymore. He lives in you, right? And take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So pray for others too, because God will have them pray for you. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can pray in the Spirit? Because we need to pray in the Spirit, because the Spirit knows things we don't know. And he doesn't necessarily agree with our doctrine when he prays. He agrees with the truth. That's why you need to let him pray through you, and you don't have to understand it. Amen? So these spiritual powers are now under the feet of his body. Ephesians 1:17-23. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. In other words, what has he called you to? Well, he's called you to Christlikeness, whether they will admit it or not. And what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints? Our inheritance is Jesus. He is our inheritance. He lives in us. We were crucified with Christ. And what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. His power is far beyond we can understand. But when we believe, we have it. And according to that working of the strength of his might, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things, or things actually isn't in there, but all to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So notice very carefully here that the Lord is the head of the body, and he put the dominions under the lowest member of his body, which is the feet. Yes. So Colossians 2:12-15 says, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead through your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, You, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses, having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us. Did you hear that? Yes. All those rules and regulations and stuff that were against us, right? Which was contrary to us, and he hath taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So much for the condemnation of the devil. He condemns us for things that sometimes we don't know what it is. Well, you just missed it, because to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know what he is going to whip you for, right? Having despoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Well, the Bible says he always leadeth us in triumph, which means celebrating the victory that he gave to us. We're not celebrating our victory. We're celebrating the victory that he gave to us. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. The only thing that remains is for us to enter into those works by faith. Amen. Luke 10:1. Now after these things the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two and two before his face. There's your two witnesses. Before his face into every city and place whither he himself is about to come. Now we know the Lord and the man-child is going to do the same thing. History will repeat, except now it's a much larger scale, right? And 17-20 says, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. See, he simply told them, gave them authority to go out and do this, and they went out and did it, and they were excited because they had authority. Do we have authority? Yes, we do. It's written in the Word. So they didn't have the Holy Spirit at this time, but they were given authority to use the name of Jesus. Now just imagine when we get the Holy Spirit, which is when he sent them out in the book of Acts, by the way. He said, tarry until you receive the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, right? And they did, and they received it, and then they were sent, because now they had the power of God and the wisdom and the direction of God, right? And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. So they were casting down the dominion of Satan as they went forth. Amen. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents. Those are demons whose poison is in their head. It's called deception. Serpents. And scorpions. That's demons whose poison is in their tail. To make you flee as powerless, right? And over all the power of the enemy, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Now, this doesn't come automatically. It comes by faith, right? Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So, these scorpion spirits come to rob you of justification by faith so that you lose the benefits of Jesus' sacrifice and have to start over to recognize the benefits of the crucifixion. We are crucifying Jesus afresh when we allow this to happen. And if you have confessed any sins that you know of, which are the only ones that count, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7-9. And then you're justified. And then reconciliation is made. And you are to see Jesus in the mirror by faith because, as Paul said, you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. Amen. And this is all words of faith, a good confession in the sight of many witnesses, etc. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live. The devil keeps telling you that you live, and you're making a lot of mistakes. But you need to tell him this, because when you confess the Lord and his sacrifice before men and before the devil, the high priest of your confession confesses you before the Father. So I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with an unveiled face. The veil was religion, remember that. With an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. This revelation causes the Lord to empower you. And then you are subject to the condemnation of the devil. Or you are to reject the condemnation of the devil, right? You have the authority to do that when you look in the mirror and you see Jesus, right? And if you see yourself in the mirror after you have confessed all sin, you are beating up Christ in you, just like the faction does. You're crucifying him afresh. And if you are condemning yourself after you confess your sins honestly, you do not believe that Jesus and you will get no grace to overcome. You don't believe that Jesus is in you and you will get no grace to overcome. And you're beating him up in you. The spiritual man has to grow because of your faith in the Word of God. If you're in willful sin, confess and forsake it and look at Jesus in the mirror. Confess his righteousness and holiness that is yours, and you don't live anymore. There's no other way to have power from God to defeat self. What must we do to do the works of God? His disciples asked. And Jesus said, believe on him whom he has sent. How simple. So, here's a revelation that was given to Eve on 8/29/2020. And we called it helping the faction to crucify Jesus afresh. In our meeting, I heard the Lord saying, why do you, my people, crucify me afresh continually? For you are indeed crucifying me afresh. And according to the dream, it is by helping the faction to crucify him. So I had thought, this dream below was just a personal correction for me, but when I heard the Spirit say, my people, and Lexi's interpretation of Merlin's tongues, when he said, why are you, my children, forsaking me for the world? And I knew this dream was a corporate correction to the body. So, when we accept what demons say about us, instead of what Christ says about us in his promises, we're giving up ground to the demons. We've been given authority over all of their power. How come people are not exercising it? Right? They're not believing the promises or the commands. So here's the dream. I dreamed that I was walking through an old western town along the main dirt road with Jesus. He was to my right, and at first I was happy to be walking next to him. But then I looked up and I saw that the whole left side of his face and head had been severely beaten, and he was all bloody. He had blood stains on his garments, and he looked like he had been drugged through the dirt. I was horrified to see him like this, and I felt immense pain for him. And then I became very angry and indignant and asked him, who did this to you? He turned and gestured with an open left hand and arm to a group of followers who were supposed to be his disciples, about 10 to 20 paces behind us, and I looked back at them. They were clamoring at him and shaking their fists in anger at him and also one another. There was much confusion among them. So these are the faction who crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. But we are exhorted to hold on to the faith and not help them to kill us, right? Hebrews chapter 6, 1 through 12 says, "Wherefore, leaving the doctrine of the first principles of Christ, let us press on unto perfection, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the teaching of baptisms and the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then fell away, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." You see, the more you know, the more you're responsible. And this is the only way to grow in the image of Christ, of course. You don't, it's a catch-22. If you don't receive the truth and repent and walk in the truth, you won't come into the image of Christ. Everyone that says they abide in him, the Bible says, let them walk as he walked. So we've been called to this, and we've been given the gift to do this. "For the land which has drunk the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them, for whose sake it is also tilled, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is rejected and nigh unto a curse, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we speak thus. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which you showed towards his name, in that you ministered unto the saints and still do minister. And we desire that each one of you may show the same diligence unto the fullness of hope even unto the end, that you be not sluggish, but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Amen. Well, notice that the factious are facing Eve and the Lord, and when they accuse and condemn you, they are accusing the Lord, as in Matthew 25 and 40, which says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these my brethren, even these least, you did it unto me." So if you accept those spirits and what they say through these wicked people, you too will die. "I looked back up at Jesus, and he looked at me with such love in his eyes, but it was mixed with hurt and a questioning look of, why did you take part in helping them? Suddenly I got the revelation that I had helped these people to drag Jesus through the dirt and crucify him afresh, and I was all at once horrified by this realization as I woke up and began to process what I had dreamed." So when do we help the faction crucify Jesus again? When we accept what their scorpion spirits speak to us of condemnation, accusation, slander, reminding us of our past instead of believing we were crucified with Christ. And through witchcraft, they send these spirits against the righteous, and some are believing them and turning away from the truth. Eve learned that she was believing the condemnation of these spirits, which helps them to crucify Christ in her. Amen. Wow, you know, it's such an awesome revelation, you know. We have to walk by faith instead of by sight. We know that we receive the end from the beginning. When we look in the mirror and we see Jesus, we are seeing that the gift that God has given unto us is Christlikeness. And he also nailed all of our sins on the cross, so therefore you don't have them anymore. That's how faith works. He made you free from sin. Paul said that twice in Romans chapter 6. And there he also said, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. And what did he say? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Oh, there is a way to let not sin reign in your body. And he said it was, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. You see, the devil is trying to condemn you and judge you and cause you to lose justification by faith. Once you've lost your justification, which means accounted righteous, you don't have anything given from God. It's all because of what Jesus did. It's not because of what you can do. Okay? So as you hold to that by faith, what Jesus did, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Father will give you power. So it's not just receiving the Holy Spirit. It's being able to hear the Holy Spirit. And the Father will give you power, and you will be delivered from the works of darkness. Well, Father, thank you so much for this revelation. I pray that I know some may want to go through this again or even look at the text, you know, that we provide, which is not exactly what I preach, but it's a rounded revelation there. So we ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would encourage our brethren out there to walk in the steps of Jesus through faith in what he accomplished already for us. In Jesus' name, amen.